Good morning, Fort McMurray, with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down and check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
Gratitude's and we are important. Back. Gratitude's big shout important. Out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
My name is Adam Cuvalier. I go by also DJ Groovy Coovy.
Nice.
I moved to the wonderful town of Fort McMurray in 2018. Got a little bit out of my comfort zone here. I used to live in Edmonton for about 18 years. I'm originally from Nova Scotia. Been kind of all over, born in Toronto. And I'm going to be honest with you. In 2016, I never would imagine that I would have moved to Fort McMurray, but I think it was one of the best decisions I ever made. It's a great spot out here, yeah.
So there's a lot to unpack there. We're going to have loads to talk about. But let's start with, what was the initial moving? Like, why did you decide, Fort McMurray, I'm coming here?
Well, I owned a nightclub in Edmonton for about 10 years, from 2005 to 2015.
Name of the club?
Level 2 Lounge.
Okay.
Actually, to give myself a little bit of self-promotion here, I have a Level 2 Lounge reunion party at 9910 nightclub in Edmonton on the 14th. It's the sixth installment of the reunion parties, and it's usually always packed. All the old partygoers always seem to come out and get the dust off the dancing shoes and
stuff. Cool. Okay.
But, essentially, I after I sold my club, I didn't really know kind of what direction I was going in my life. I'd been doing that particular work for quite a few years, like I said, 10 years in the game. And, you know, DJing as well. And when I sold the bar, I kind of started doing, like, random work, like doing hot shots randomly for my buddy's father's company.
Yeah.
And, I was doing that for about 6 months. It was kind of, like, no real schedule to it, but... he just said, hey, how would you feel about going to Fort McMurray for a month and help? Because the main office of the company I did work for was located in Fort McMurray. And they said, how would you feel about going to Fort McMurray for a month and helping out?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you've heard these stories before, but I ended up coming up here for a month. And then they said, how would you feel about staying another month and then another month? And then I kind of just felt like my, the Edmonton chapter in my book had been written. Right. So I figured it was time to get out of my comfort zone and kind of try out something new.
Nice.
So I came here, I didn't know anybody, and just came here and started working, and the rest is history, I guess you
could
say.
That's cool. Well, it's a very unique place.
Yeah.
Like, I love it, Tanner loves it, we're born and raised here.
So, okay.
We're just, hence the name of the show, the Max City.
Yeah, Max City.
Like, but we've been traveling a lot this summer, going to different festivals, traveling for work, family, a bunch of things, and like, it's... Something about Fort McMurray, we were talking about it yesterday, it's like, we love it, but it's a place, like, it's a nice environment.
You know, I always find that, life is what you make it.
Mm.
So, you know, I find, because you talk to a lot of different people, you know, whether it's at work or whatever, or just randomly, and a lot of people kind of give Fort McMurray, like, a bad kind of, and I think it's because they come here for work, and they work hard, and they work long hours, and maybe that kind of coincides with maybe something that they're not, you know, wanting to do all the time.
Right.
But, you know, Fort McMurray is beautiful. Like, I mean, the trails and the river and, you know,
that's
I mean, Gregoire
right.
Beach is what it is. But, I mean, I still go there, enjoy myself. And, you know, it is what you make it.
So that's right.
It is a beautiful community for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing that brought us together was music. That's how we bumped into
each other. Absolutely, yeah.
But you also were we were at festivals, but you were at a festival too. So tell us a little bit about where you were at this summer.
Okay, Motion Notion Music Festival.
I
it was the 20th year, although there's been a number of years that it was on hiatus, you know, COVID, and the creator of the festival wanted a few years off.
Yeah.
there was a little bit of like, you know, he'd been doing it for so many years, and he actually approached me about taking over the festival. And I said, you know what, I've had a nightclub, you know, I've booked talent, but, you know, a festival is a whole can of worms that I've never, you know, I said I'd be willing to help you in a role of like maybe general manager or director. Mm-hmm. And maybe you could mentor me, you know, kind of like, you know, on how things work.
Yeah.
So the guy who used to be the director, he's in Australia now, but he kind of mentored me a little bit throughout the process. So it was the three of us, kind of one guy in Calgary, one guy in Vancouver, in Australia. So,
yeah,
you know, connecting on the phone and text message was a bit of a challenge. But so it was out in Driftpile. It was a 3-day festival, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We knew that bringing it back after like a 5-year hiatus, you know, we'd have to rebuild stuff. But we had about 1,200 people, which... The last year we had it, well, that it was happening, not we, but
yeah,
I've DJed most of them.
Yeah.
But they had about 3,000. So,
yeah.
You know, like, I mean, you also take into consideration that people, you know, in 2018, now they're 5 years older, they may have families, their priorities have changed possibly.
Yeah.
There was a lot of new people that came, but there was also a lot of people, like the old school OG people.
That's came out cool. Too as well. So 1,500 is a good number, man.
Like, yeah, we're building.
Yeah, so, good for you guys. Yeah. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah. And keep on.
Oh, yeah, no, I wasn't used to, like, actually working so much, because I was also the because I mean, when I go to a festival, I go DJ, have fun, and do all this stuff, but it was kind of a different perspective, you know, because I was doing the artist representation there too, so, you know, greeting artists, you know, getting them to the stages and stuff like that. So it you know, and we were running stages from like 4 p.m. to like 5 a.m. 6 a.m. so I did have a couple of helpers, but it was a lot of work, but it was well worth it for sure.
Yeah. No doubt, like, it's one of those things. We went to a few festivals this summer, and like the daunting amount of work that has to go, like, as somebody just who's there to like enjoy, like, it's cool, but like, I'm also an adult who like owns a company, and I'm like looking at stuff and I'm just like, my lord, like the processes, the volunteers, the washer, like,
for sure,
everything.
Yeah.
Like,
the logistics of it, there's so much that goes into it, and people like yourself and other people who have been involved in such a process before, they look at different things, where other people just look at like, wow, the stage was great, or the sound is great, the production's awesome, you know. They don't really see like all the other stuff, but it's good that you
that's wild. So now that you're in that role, you were still a DJ. Were you able to?
I DJed Saturday night at the Hive Stage from 10 to 11:30. It was really good.
Sweet.
This year, I played on the, like, I didn't play on the main stage. I wanted to, like, I usually play on the main stage, but I wanted to kind of change it up and get a feel. Like, I mean, I didn't pick where I played before, but I kind of had a little bit of, you know, I could, you know, put myself where I wanted to put myself. So not too late, not too early, but I put myself on the secondary stage. There were three stages.
Yeah.
But and it was a good vibe. It was a good crowd. Yeah,
nice.
It was fun.
Now, from the perspective of you being the DJ, playing at the different stages, what would be a benefit for you to play on like the secondary stage? Like, there has to be a thought process in your head on why.
I'm not really sure if there's a benefit per se. I think it's more of just changing it up, you know, getting a different feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, typically I'd play the previous festivals, you know, anywhere. I had one slot at like 5 a.m. I had other slots at like 8 p.m., you know, 9 p.m., 10 p.m., some in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a different crowd, different times of the day, right?
Right.
And so I don't know. I just thought I'd change it up. You know, I like to, get out of my comfort zone a little bit and try new things. And and the stage was beautiful. Like, if you go on my Instagram page, I posted lots of... lots of pictures on there, so it's that was a great time. Met a lot of really new, cool people. Connected with a lot of people I haven't seen in a long time.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what those kind of events are all about, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Making new connections and.
So, what got you into music initially?
Well, that's an interesting story in itself. My mother, she was a fitness trainer.
Okay.
So she did.
Surprising.
Well, she would teach, like, you know, we're talking back, like, when I was, I mean, she recently was even doing, like, teaching yoga and stuff like that. So she's been doing it for, you know, 35 years probably.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as she got older, she, you know, was doing yoga instead of, you know, step, which was really popular in like the 90s and early 2000s. But, you know, essentially what she would do is she would go to Halifax. I grew up in a small town called Mahone Bay.
Okay.
And she'd go to Halifax and go to like Sam the Record Man stores. I don't know if you're familiar
with that. I'm very familiar with Sam the Record Man. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I am.
Yeah, so she would buy like vinyl, and she would actually buy like 12-inch singles and stuff like that that were, you know, indicative to what DJs would buy.
Okay.
So what she would do is she would take the vinyl and then she would dub it onto cassette tapes. So she had a Tascam dual cassette player with pitch control.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you out there that don't know what pitch is, it's the tempo, it's the speed of the music.
Mm-hmm.
So she would actually mix. So she would beat match, like, I mean, we're talking about cassettes. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was very short mixes, but
yeah.
I was fascinated by that. And I was like maybe like 13, 14, 15.
Yeah.
And I just watched my mom do this stuff. And like, now I'm kind of like, you know, dating myself here a little bit. But I used to have like a Walkman.
Yeah.
And I used to have a Technotronic tape.
Okay.
And I used to listen to that. I used to go to bed, listen to that. And I'd wake up, the headphones are all everywhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like when I was, you know, we're talking 1991, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I got into like music like that. I never actually bought my first set of turntables until about 1998.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's kind of been it kind of ramped up when I came out to Alberta. You know, I started going to like, you know, a lot of all night parties and stuff, and I was just fascinated by like the DJ and what he was doing, and I wanted to be that person, kind of being the selector of the music. And
yeah.
Yeah, and I did radio in Edmonton for a number of years at 88.5 FM, and you know, then Level 2 Lounge, and now I'm here.
Nice.
Yeah.
So are you ready?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Well, Tanner has a segment called the Max City Minute.
Okay.
We haven't done this segment in a minute, so it's brought to you by Carrie from Patchouli Rose. So you're gonna see Carrie's ad at the end of the video, but Carrie, thank you for your ongoing support, Tanner. In with the Max City Minute.
Question number one. What is your favorite go-to artist to listen to when you are relaxing?
When I'm relaxing? Flume.
Flume's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flume at Burning Man is a great story.
Yeah. You'll have to tell me that one.
Question number two. What was your favorite after-school snack?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. It's been many, many moons. to be honest with you, I don't know if I can. My mother and my dad did a lot of cooking growing up, but usually when I got home, supper was pretty much on the go. I don't know if I had many snacks.
Fair enough.
And my memory isn't that great from when I was like in my teenage years, so.
That's all right.
Question number three. What is one artist you think everyone should listen to?
I'd have to say, oh, that's a loaded question.
Yeah, it is.
Pete Tong.
Question number four. What was your most shocking part about moving to Fort McMurray?
Well, I can answer that one right off the bat. I needed a new pair of Bluetooth headphones, and I can't remember who I asked, but I asked them, where's the Best Buy? They said no Best Buy. You can go down to the Staples at the mall. Yeah. So I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And your final question, what is the story behind your DJ name?
Well, my last name is Cuvelier, and everybody used to call me Cuvy and stuff growing up, Cuvy, and it rhymes with groovy, and I just feel like it kind of represents what I'm all about, so, you know, groovy, Cuvy, so.
Those are your five questions.
That's awesome. So when you were learning to DJ, were you using like traditional turntables and
yes.
switching records? And then,
yep.
Okay, so
yep.
What has the transition from that to what you guys use now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how challenging or was it to switch over to that? Like, you've seen a huge shift.
For sure. And you know, it's ironic that you asked me that because one of the DJs that I booked for Motion Ocean, her name is DJ Bijou, a good friend of mine, Sylvia.
Mm.
She's been DJing for like, I've been DJing for about 24 years, and she's not too far behind me, and she was playing vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is with vinyl, it's all about ear. So and the platters are, so okay, so how can I explain this? So when a record is playing,
yeah,
you would take the other record that you have and like you basically, you're going like this, so you hear the beat of the track in the headphones that you're going to be bringing in,
mm-hmm.
and then you drop it at the correct time, and that's a whole other can of worms. Maybe we'll get into, but and then from there you correct the pitch, which is the tempo, which is the speed of the record that you're bringing in,
right?
Yeah. To match the BPM, the beats per minute,
yeah,
to match with the track that you're already playing.
Yeah.
So getting that matched is like, you know, it took me about a year to kind of like get that kind of technique down.
Yeah.
Because it's like, basically you have to train your brain to get around all the sounds that you're hearing, you mm-hmm. know, because there's a term called like shoes in the dryer, boots in the dryer.
Yeah.
So if you've ever think about like putting a pair of sneakers in the dryer, mm-hmm. it's like da 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 da. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if the beats aren't on, that's kind of the sound that you're going to hear in your headphones.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Right.
But now with digital, the platters don't move.
Yeah.
So if you're off, like you can move it forward or backwards.
Yeah.
And you don't really hear it. Now with vinyl, you got to be real slick with that because if you speed the record up, you're going to hear like wow. Or like, right. or if you slow it down, it like it's much more mm-hmm. like kind of an art. Of,
yeah, man.
So like basically with vinyl, back in the day, you only had people playing that were like there was a talent
yeah.
level, right?
For sure.
With digital, I mean, I'm just gonna say it. Everybody can be a DJ now because it's I mean, once you get the technique down of like in your ear and stuff like that, and I mean they have like the BPMs right on the CDJs too, so
yep.
The learning curve is quite a bit lower.
Yep, so, 100%.
Yeah.
I've always been fascinated, like I love music.
Oh, absolutely.
From a young
For
age,
sure.
My parents are very musical. Like mm. I come from a culture of music.
Beautiful.
And so I remember being in college and like I don't know, I like to party, and I made friends with a guy who's a DJ, and he's mm-hmm. like, hey, come up one night, and like, you can like, just see what's up.
Yeah.
So it was on turntables with vinyl, mm-hmm. and then I was up there, it was at a place in Edmonton called the Wunderbar on White Ave.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Wunderbar, but it's okay. German.
Wunder. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that one, yeah, I remember that
it
one.
It was a hole in the wall. Anyways, nobody was there, so he's like, come up and play around, and I went up there, and I was yeah. just like... Like everything you've described, I was yeah. there. I was like, there's no way. And you try and you fumble it, and it's like,
yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to put the time and effort mm-hmm. into learning. Mm-hmm. I'd like to listen.
Yeah.
But like recently, I've been able to get on some CDJs and mm-hmm. like look at it. And if yeah. you're with a DJ, which I've been lucky enough to like already have things queued up and mm-hmm. lined up, and you're just like, I need supervision, but the learning curve was like, one was instrumental, like I couldn't get it. It was like climbing Mount Everest. I'm like, I'm never yeah. going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
This one, you could be like, if I messed around long enough, I might sure. be able to figure this out.
For
not
sure.
to like say anybody who's a DJ now is yeah. not at that same level, but it's definitely a different entry point.
Yeah, it helps if you have like an actual beat mm-hmm. because that's kind of like what you match. Like a lot of times too, like, I don't know, I call it high risk mixing. So like, but a lot of times too, what I'll do is, I'll get it matched, but then I'll drop the track in on the breakdown of another track, so there
yeah.
is actually no beat.
Right.
So you really, that's where starting the secondary track that isn't playing for the crowd,
mm-hmm.
it's really important to make sure you have it bang on.
Yeah.
Because if it's off,
yeah.
and then once that track has a beat again,
yeah.
you want to make sure that they line up, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like that's kind of like a more advanced kind of yeah. mixing style. But
and same with records. Like my dad's an audiophile. Like he has a beautiful record set up with mm-hmm. his amplifiers and
cool.
everything. We had like back in the day, he used to get eggshell cartons and we would like put them on the wall.
For sound,
yeah.
Yeah.
Things have definitely improved yeah. since then.
Yeah.
But it was just like that lever that you're talking about that can your mom can speed up or slow down.
Yeah, the tempo. Yeah.
Like all of a sudden now you're with the two turntables and you're
yeah.
trying to do that.
Yeah.
Like it's just, I just remember looking at it with my buddy being like, you know what, I'm out. Not
you
doing
know,
it.
And the funniest part is too is like when you first started to learn
mm-hmm.
and you hear that you have it like on for maybe like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But then you can hear it starting to gradually fall off.
Mm-hmm.
The mix, like the beat, it starts to fall off.
Right.
So that's when you gotta like correct it.
Yeah.
So the idea is, like, I mean, a lot of the mixes that I do, you know, they're like 1.5, 2 minutes of two tracks playing.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta make sure I mean, that's a lot more difficult with vinyl. Like, I mean, yeah. I haven't played a record for, I don't know, five, six years. But yeah. I mean, what, it's like riding a bike, you know, you get back there, play a few, you kind of get the hang of it again. Yeah. But it is much more of an art. Like the turntables, the vinyl turntables is much more of an art, in my opinion, than the digital technology. Don't get me wrong, I still love the digital technology. Like, I mean, without technology, you know, I always find, just kind of talking about something else, it's like, you ever watch a movie, and it kind of looks like, you know, it might be however many years old, but you can always date the movie by the technology.
100%.
The laptops, the TVs, the phones, the cell phone, you know, so, you know, technology, it's great because it helps our lives move along more smoothly.
Yeah, and you don't
most of the time.
You don't got, oh, time's up? Oh, man. All right, well, that's a loss for them because we're going to keep talking, but we're at the end of the episode.
Okay.
But before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Okay, well, first off, I want to support local. My buddy Retta, he has the Optimum Health down there by Town Hall, the old Town Hall nightclub there. So I thought I'd rep him, give him a shout out. Also, if you're in Edmonton on September 14th, I have a party going on at 9910 nightclub. It's at 9910 109th Street. So if you say that you listen to this podcast, you can come in for free.
There we go. I like that. Well, Fort McMurray with Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hope everybody at home is having a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
See you later.
I just died at this. That's another Mac City Morning Show done.
It's so ballistic!
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.